Today is Reminder Day, to go back over some of the things you may have forgotten or not remembered. I don't know what the difference between those two words are. We're indoors again, it's raining, it's blowing a gale, so it's very peaceful and calm on this podcast, and that's unusual. There will be acoustic background noises of people getting ready for school and making breakfasts, but I'm sure you can forgive that because I'm still at home. Real world hasn't kicked off yet, and so here we go. First thing I want to remind you about is a thing called frustra. When we're frustrated, it means that we've hit it's a high note. It's a high note in our growth, and we grow in circles, so in spheres. We are a spherical, three-dimensional being. And so when one aspect of our life becomes frustrated, it actually means that we need to work through that because we've hit the edge of the bubble. Now, the inclination for all people when they hit the edge of the bubble is to retreat from it and try to feel super confident and competent and clever and intelligent and in control and in charge. And that's completely understandable given that the feeling of frustration and the feeling of incompetence is under a sort of feelings like it undermines us. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't undermine us. It is an opportunity for us to take a good hard look at how, not why, but how we are approaching things. So frustration, or in another language, boredom or tiredness or fatigue, is an expression of nature's appetite for you to look at how you are doing what you're doing, how you are eating, how you are approaching things, and come up with a new way of approaching things. But what typically, just to give you the heads up on this, when we start getting frustrated at work, we probably would the most common thing we'd do is firstly blame the job, shy away from the frustration and try to get back to a level of competence, which is boring and causes us an untold discomfort because frustration is one topic. It's sort of a gnarling, gnawing feeling that something better can be done about something, something can be improved or changed. But what we'll do is quite often shy away from that feeling and come to a point of it saying one of these disgusting quotes like, it is what it is, or I can't change that, or you know, whatever. And that's really a cop-out. But when we say those words, because in nature nothing's ever missing, just changes in form, what we'll typically do is try to create stimulation in another aspect of our life. For example, if someone's going through a frustration at work and they pull back from the question of how can I get more done in less time? How can I improve my process? How can I change what I'm doing? How can I improve the circumstances I'm in? When they say I can't, which means they've dropped back into incompetence, or dropped back to competence, from incompetence back to competence. They've dropped down a layer in their thinking. What's missing now is the stimulation of doing a good job at work. And what they'll typically do is try to run faster, or go to the gym more often, or change their diet, or go out on a date night, or book a hotel for a holiday. They'll pull back and try to find reorganize the stimulation, the inspiration of their life into another aspect. Now, that's understandable, and that is absolutely generic human behavior. If there is 7 billion people on the planet or more, then I would say 6.99999% 6.9 billion, which is nearly 100% of all people, will do what I just described when they hit a frustra. I don't think you're listening to this podcast because you like being one of the 99.99999% of people who create drama in their life as a consequence of not facing the music, of missing an opportunity to evolve and grow. So frustration is nature's way of saying it's time for you to step into a new way, a new how. And it's not about a new why. You don't need a new vision. You don't need a new inspiration. You don't need a new purpose. What you need is to reevaluate the process that you are using to achieve your outcomes. Now, process is heartfelt. So how we go about things is very much defined by the heart. And so we want to enjoy our work. We want to feel good about our work. We want to feel happy about where we are. We want to feel engaged. And this is what is commonly referred to in the world as coming from your heart, living from your heart. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, generosity, all these great words are just sort of synonyms for the word heart. At the same way, we have head. Head creates vision, head creates goals, head creates a sense of purpose, head creates frustration. And so head and heart, when they no longer collaborate, what we do is head will typically go around to try and find a new place to operate where heart re-engages. So it might say, I'm going to put more energy into my relationship, I'm going to run faster, I'm going to choose to die. And then head and heart reconnect. But unfortunately, they've reconnected in what's called a low priority diversion. And so if frustration is not coming from the home, but we start to go, I'm going to be more committed to my work. If frustration is coming from the home and we decide to be more committed to our work, then what we've done is we've left a bucket of meat in the garden with no lid on it and allowed it to fester. Now, it will grow maggots and it will grow flies and it will stink, and we go, I'm not going out in the backyard. And all of a sudden we start feeling like we're not motivated anymore, we're not stimulated anymore, and we're not energized towards our work. But it's because that work's becoming a bucket of stinking, rotten meat. And the reason for that is we have gone somewhere else to stimulate ourselves. So we don't feel the loss of that stimulation from work. We don't feel the loss of enthusiasm. We don't feel that. What we feel is initially frustrated with work or something at work. We surrender to it and say, well, it is what it is, and I have to deal with this, and this is part of my process, and I'm learning from it. And we make up all these reasons to stay frustrated but not deal with our process, how we're dealing with it. And then we go around to somewhere else and say, I'm going to be a better family person, or a better athlete, or I'm going to be a better friend, or I'm going to be more spiritually engaged or something. And we think that we've solved the problem because we've moved our focus of frustration away from the work. That bucket eventually becomes toxic, and eventually it attracts not only flies and it stinks, but it also attracts bacteria and disease. And that is not limited by the shape and size of the bucket. It can spread out into the garden and eventually will come in your house. So it's wiser to think, when I feel frustrated, I need to take the area of life that's frustrating me and look at it head on. And the only question you need to ask is, what is it that's frustrating me? What's going on? What's frustrating? You know, is it like you've built something up, but now there's a potential of it being destroyed, or you've built something up and now you're under threat of it next year not being as good as this year, or the team isn't operating, or the clients are not operating the way, or the market's not operating. And you've got to look at that and say, how can I operate differently so that no longer frustrates me? And until you answer that question, you'll start to feel fatigue at work, or you'll start to feel frustrated and bored at work, or loss of what some people call motivation, what I call inspiration. You won't feel engaged fully, and you'll have to force that. Now, forced inspiration, forced motivation, it's sustainable for a little while, but not forever. So that's the first thing that I wanted to talk about today, and that is face your frustrations. And remember, if you have a frustration in any aspect of life, whether it's at home or work or your health or whatever, look at how you're doing things, not why. The second thing I wanted to talk about is that nature never grows in straight lines. And it's very easy for us to forget that something that comes our way that's not what we want, or something that comes our way that knocks us off our pedestal and makes us feel tired, is meant to be there. That life doesn't go on a straight line, it goes either side of a straight line, so we grow in cycles. If we've had a long period of relatively good, what feels to be like good time, like your work's going well, home's going well, health's going well, the counterbalance to it doesn't mean a long period of time of things not going well. It could be a single day where something happens that is a cataclysmic or major disruption. And that can be the balancing energy to a whole 3 months of things going well. So the concept of nature not moving in straight lines gives us this fantasiful idea of a sinusoidal wave, which has as much curvature above the line as below. And so you go, well, there's the good news and there's the bad. But if you map in your life a line going about 30 degrees up a page, a straight line, and you place everything that you can remember, and on the bottom axis is years, zero being the bottom corner and your current age being the top corner, so that's along the bottom axis. If you place above the line all the things that you can remember that went well, and if you place below the line all the things that you can remember that didn't go well, the moments of hurt and pain and suffering and death and destruction and all these things, all those things below, and all the good things of birth and creation and everything above the line, what you'll find is as many dots above as there are below. That's for a start. But you won't find the dots above being all at the same height. So the distance from that line, some of them will be close to the line, some will be a long way. Below the line, some will be close to the line, some will be a long way. And overall, over the length of the period of your life, the law of the universe says that those dots will, if connected, add up to the same area above the line as the same area below the line. So there will be as much support as there is challenge in your life. There will be as much order as there is chaos in your life. There will be as much success as there is failure in your life, but it will be over a life. It's not on an hourly basis. When we study mind mastery and we say, let's try and get our mind under control, what we're trying to avoid is the length, the distance of those dots away from the line, the distance of those dots being less. We're trying to cross the line more often. So we'll be, let's say, frustrated more often. We'll be annoyed more often. But we'll have a process of dealing with frustration and annoyance really quickly. So the dot might go out to the same distance, but we don't sustain it. We don't hold it out there. Now, that means we cross that line more frequently. And that line is for many other languages, is called a line of inspiration, a line of purpose, a line of unconditional love. Whatever area of life you're looking at, you'll find that you can find a label for that line, which means the stuff we really want. Happiness, if you wish to even go that far. So I think that's probably enough for today to give you some reminders of some of the work we've covered and some of the things that you may very easily forget when you're bombarded with all the information people send you. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.